Blog Talk Radio.
What's happening, folks? It's the Patriot Nation Radio Show, and I'm your host, Mark Hoffman. Tonight we'll be speaking with Mr. Del Bigtree. He's got his own talk show, High Wire with Del Bigtree, heard Thursday mornings, 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you want to check it out, he's doing some really good stuff there. I've been watching a couple. He was out in Mississippi and talking about the flu, false flag, what's happening. So what I'm going to do real fast right now is I'm going to do our top of the hour break so that I can screen my calls, see if I got my guest there on the thing. So check this out.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942. Thank you for listening to Patriot Nation Radio, 347-637-3942.
Attention conservatives. Big social media is targeting conservatives like you and me in an effort to silence us and the truth. The free speech social media that you have waited for is here at LibertyRush.com. No longer do you have to be distracted by fake news. Join the war on fake news at LibertyRush.com. The official alternative with no libtard rhetoric. Guaranteed. LibertyRush.com.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Dave Bray, America's favorite patriotic rocker, and you are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Network.
I never knew about at a funeral or like the last day when an officer has passed, and they actually go and the dispatch will close basically down the radio air for emergency only, and then she will call the badge number or he will call the badge number from dispatch, and obviously there's never an answer. Brave soul has passed away in the line of duty. Felt like something needed to be done or to recognize that. And that's what the song is about. Basically, it's about an officer who's gone down in the line of duty, and he's given his all. And when they do reach out for the last call, he answers back, and these are his words. And one thing a lot of people don't know, I know a lot of cops, in and out of uniform. They are very human, just like you and I. Pick and choose what laws they uphold, but they have to uphold the ones that are put in place by our representatives. And our representatives are the people that we put in office. And the same people that are out there with their signs are the same people that are putting lunatics in office. Here's the wake-up call, people. Don't come down on the men and women in blue for doing their job. Come down on your representatives for passing these BS laws and get involved in your political on a local level and fix what the problem is. Fix the problems in our laws today. Get involved in your local politics and get moving. Get moving in America. Become a citizen. A citizen doesn't mean you sit back and collect a paycheck from the government. A citizen means you are a part of the government, a part of the citizenry, a part of the voting and voicing public. And that's what I think the song says more over than anything else. And if people want to hear it, because I know they do, please go to Dave Bray, USA, right now on Facebook. That's DaveBray, USA.
There you have it, folks. DaveBrayUSA.com. You can hear great songs like Last Call. He's got a new album coming out. I believe it's coming out in March. Maybe we can have Dave join us and preview two of his new songs off his new album that he's putting out. First full-length CD as a solo artist, post-Madison Rising. Of course, if you listen to Patriot Nation Radio, you've heard plenty of Dave Bray. And we may play Last Call for the fallen, for all the fallen. That includes those that have died in the line of duty fighting for our freedom. And for those who die in the line of duty serving and protecting our communities, a lot of these execution-style killings of our police lately are just kind of ridiculous. Unbelievable. But enough of that. Tonight we got a great show on tap. We got Mr. Del Bigtree. He's a pretty prestigious gentleman, I must say. He is a producer of the hit TV show for 7 years, The Doctors. You may remember the guy, he was on like The Bachelor or something, or The Bachelorette. He was on both, Bachelor and Bat. He was a bachelor to a bachelorette and a bachelor to another bachelorette. But that guy, he's pretty good. I actually like that guy. His show's not too bad, I guess. And it was very well produced, I got to say that. And he also produced the movie Vax. You want to make sure you want to check that out. We're going to touch on that. And he put out a piece not that long ago in reference to the flu false flag. And somebody at the CDC has taken a fall. We're going to talk about that, too. So we're going to bring our guest in right now, Mr. Del Bigtree. Coming on. Welcome to the show, sir. It's my pleasure and my honor to have you on the show. Welcome.
No, thank you. It's great to be here. It's really good. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So I've been watching your videos. I've been watching your show sometime. I work during the day, so it's kind of hard to catch the show at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Thursdays. But when I can, I watch the replays, and I like to watch some of the things you're putting out. And I recently saw one that you did. You went down to Mississippi. There was some crazy stuff. I want to talk a little bit first about vaccines and what got you started on fighting against the vaccines, the way they are administered right now. Not necessarily against vaccines, but against the administration of particular vaccines.
Yeah, I'd say that specifically, really, what I'm really working on is getting safety testing on vaccines. We have a totally untested product, really, that's being used on our children. And I appreciate the goal to stop infectious disease, but there's not a product on this planet that we allow to be used on children that doesn't go through proper safety testing, be it a car seat or any drug or, you know, airbags in cars. Like there's ways, as consumer advocates, we have always fought to make sure that we have the safest products being used. And vaccines have slipped through the cracks. And that's really my focus is to make vaccines safer and make sure that they're safe. There's a lot of people that are complaining about injuries. If you go on YouTube, you'll find tens of thousands of crippled children and injured adults and rheumatoid arthritis or diabetes or asthma or even, autism, all of these complaints from vaccines. And we've been told to just write all of those complaints off, that vaccines have been tested and they're safe. Don't worry about it. Just trust us is what the CDC says. It's what our pediatricians say. But as you pointed out, I was a producer of a medical talk show for 6 years. I won an Emmy Award on the daytime talks with the doctors on CBS. So I'm a medical journalist. I'm an investigator. And most specifically, I celebrate, for 6 years, I celebrated the best doctors in the world, the best surgeons in the world, cutting edge techniques, new fantastic drugs that were saving lives. And so the show was a great experience. But while working on that show, I started looking into vaccines specifically because we had a top scientist from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, come forward in 2015 and say they were committing scientific fraud on the studies looking at do vaccines cause autism, and specifically the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, which really, across the world has been the one that parents have complained about the most, saying my child developed autism, lost the ability to walk, lost the ability to talk right after receiving the MMR vaccine. So this scientist came forward and I started investigating it. And that's what really shifted my career and my life because, as a journalist, I pursue stories that have enough value and validity and documentation to warrant an investigation. And this story most certainly did. Dr. William Thompson is the man's name. He still works for the CDC. He's protected by whistleblower status, just like every other whistleblower that's ever been for the tobacco industry or anyone else. But he not only makes very troubling claims about how they manipulated the most important vaccine safety study the CDC ever did, which was the MMR autism study in 2004, he doesn't just make claims about what they did. He provided 10,000 documents, not just to me and the film crew that worked on Vax, which this is the center of Vax, the movie, is this whistleblower's story. But he also provided those documents to Congressman Bill Posey in Florida, who has stood before our Congress and said, we need to subpoena Dr. William Thompson, the four other scientists that worked directly on this study, and the head of the CDC at the time, Julie Gerberding. He stood before our Congress, Bill Posey did, and said, people trust us. They trust that we are looking into issues inside of our government agencies. And this is a government agency that is recommending a vaccine that now one of our top scientists is saying is dangerous. Well, the Congress has not done their job since 2015. We're now in 2018. No one has subpoenaed Dr. William Thompson before the public in the Congress. They haven't subpoenaed, all the other scientists or the head of the CDC at the time to get to the bottom of, did a fraud take place? And so that has been my journey. Vax is a thorough investigation of that whistleblower, Dr. William Thompson. And then since then, I traveled the country. A lot of people remember the film because we got kicked out of the Tribeca Film Festival in 2016, which made it, Robert De Niro had to step up and try and defend the decision. And then he was on the Today Show saying, I think everybody should still see this movie. And there's all this mayhem, and we became one of the top trending news stories in social media all around the world. And the film has become a worldwide sensation since that. But as I traveled the country with that film, we got a bus that said Vaxxed on it. And we started interviewing people that were coming to the theaters to watch the film. And we said we would interview anybody that had an injured child or had been injured themselves. And so they started signing their names to the side of this bus. This bus became a traveling memorial to vaccine injury. I don't know where the numbers are at now, but nearly 10,000 people have signed that bus. Thousands of interviews were done on camera, which we post on a website called vax.com. But the question I got as I traveled the nation was, is it just the MMR vaccine? Clearly, something really wrong went down with the study of the MMR vaccine at the CDC. Right. When you see the movie and you see the testimony and when you see how this study was manipulated, and it's clear to me. I mean, obviously it still has to go to through a judicial process. But as a journalist, I believe the proof is there that one of the greatest frauds in scientific history has taken place. But the question everyone asked me, is it just the MMR? And that is where my study's been for the last 2 years. I think I'm one of the only journalists that's ever had the opportunity to investigate one story, one topic, which is just vaccines and vaccine safety. It's now been my primary focus for 3 years. And, I work with Robert Kennedy Jr., and we have done talks together. We got sent to meet with the heads of our health departments of the nation, the National Institute of Health, CDC, Health and Human Services, all of our government agencies came to a meeting that was set up by Donald Trump and Robert Kennedy Jr. and I and a handful of other brilliant investigators and lawyers and doctors and scientists all brought our complaints about vaccine safety to the heads of the National Health Department. And their response was, to say the least, shocking, that they really are, it appears to me, to be careless. They are bold. They are making statements about vaccines that they can't back up scientifically. And they admitted right to our faces. We said, why isn't there? I mean, if you think about the main question we said is, we have looked at every vaccine trial, everything we can find online, every study the CDC has done to say that vaccines are safe. But what we can't find is the scientific method to determine safety. And what that is a double-blind, inert, placebo-based study. Most people remember this from science class in high school. Essentially, one group is supposed to, in a safety trial, one group is supposed to get the drug or the vaccine. And then the other group is supposed to get a sugar pill that's painted and made to look just like the drug or a saline injection if it's an injectable product. And neither the people in the study nor the scientists involved know who got what. That's why it's called double blind. The scientists are blind and the people taking the product are blind. And we followed the health outcomes of those people for at least 3, 4, 5 years. Viagra went through a study like this for 10 years. And then in the end, you unmask everything and you chart out the data and you see, did the people that got the placebo have the same amount of, you know, cancer or asthma or diabetes or multiple sclerosis and things like that as the group that got the drug? Or did the drug perform worse? And if it performs worse and there was more injuries and more harm, then the drug doesn't get approved. That's how you determine safety. It's the scientific method. Now, and what we said at the National Institute of Health is, why can't we find that study for a single childhood vaccine? And essentially they admitted that they were never done. And we said, how is it you're not using the scientific method? And they said to us, because it would be unethical for us to do a double-blind safety experiment, meaning every vaccine that comes online, every brand-new vaccine like HPV that they'd never thought of before, they are so sure this is a great vaccine that to deny the placebo group, a group of kids, to give them a saltwater injection for 5 years as we determine safety, that would be unethical or unfair to them. And so they just don't do it. Now, you can take that argument however you want. You can say, hey, I understand that. Why would you deny a great treatment to kids if it's a great treatment? But here's the point. The head of the National Institute of Health, of Health and Human Services, CDC, just admitted to Robert Kennedy Jr. and I to our face, we have never done a safety study then. We have never compared it against an inert placebo. Therefore, we don't know if these things are safe or not. We have no idea. This whole thing's an experiment. And what I say to people is, I wouldn't even be involved in this discussion if America had the healthiest children in the world. We are the most vaccinated children in the world. Do we have the healthiest kids? And you can look at a study that just came out 3 weeks ago that showed that American children are 70% more likely to die before adulthood than the other 20 richest nations in the world. We came in dead last for childhood mortality of the richest nations in the world. And what I say is, how is that possible? Do we not have the best doctors in the world? Do we not have the best hospitals in the world? Something is wrong. And when I think, when you look at vaccines, it's one of the major things that that differentiates us from the rest of the industrialized world, is we're just vaccinating more. And to put it, and then I'll let you, I'm sure you have questions, but to really try and wrap your head around it, I say this. We have gone from around 12% autoimmune and neurological disorders in our children in the 1980s to now in 2017, 54% of American children have an autoimmune or neurological disorder. And when we talk about autoimmune disease, that means your body is attacking itself. It's attacking your own cells. Something has confused the body of our children. And I say, you know, people say, well, Del, it could be the water, it could be the air, it could be the food, it could be a combination of all these things. I agree. It could be many different things or a combination of things. But shouldn't we, when talking about the immune system being confused and attacking itself, wouldn't it be prudent to do the most amount of investigation on the one product that is given to every child that is designed to alter your immune system for life? That's what a vaccine does, is we are tricking the body into thinking it has had a disease because it saw a glimpse of a tiny part of this disease packed in a vaccine that also has mercury and formaldehyde and aluminum and polysorbate 80, all sorts of toxic chemicals. We're tricking the body. Isn't it possible we're tricking the body and it's not getting the message the right way and starts attacking our own cells? It seems logical to me. And when you say this to the vaccine world, the scientists, they say that's preposterous. Preposterous, really? It's preposterous to think that maybe by tricking the immune system and giving our kids not one, not two, not 10, not 20, not 50, not 60, but 72 different vaccines, all each designed to affect the child's immune system, that if we're having a crisis of autoimmune disease, that might not be the cause. I can't get off of it, and more studies are being done that are backing up this point all over the world. I think we are creating an autoimmune disease crisis because we're using too many untested vaccines on our children.
And I believe that. Now, the MMR vaccine, folks, that is pretty much the focus of this whole thing, is the mumps, measles, and rubella.
Yep.
And I was watching where after 18 months, you get the MMR, your chances decrease for autism. Is that the case that you guys are finding? Is that, you know, still a decent?
Well, so specific. So, you talk about in the film Vaxxed, what the study that with the whole movie is about one study. It's the last study the U.S. government ever funded looking at, do vaccines cause autism? So when people tell you we put too much money into this, our government hasn't put money into the investigation of autism and vaccines since 2004. So for 14 years, not a red cent has looked at the continued argument that people are saying my child got autism from a vaccine. So for 14 years, we haven't funded those studies. This was the last study done. And the study was a timing study. It essentially asked this, the hypothesis was this: is it possible that the earlier a child gets the MMR vaccine makes them more vulnerable to autism? And so what they found when they charted it out was that ultimately they looked at a lot of African-American children, because of the 3,000 kids, the study was in Atlanta. It had a large African-American group. And so they found that African-American children were 2.56 times more likely, so 2.5 times more likely to develop autism if they got the vaccine between 12 and 18 months, which is the CDC's recommended schedule, compared to those children that had waited to get the vaccine after 3 years old. So you were 2.5 times more likely to get autism if you got it at that time versus waiting till after 3 years old. And then they also looked at just African-American boys, because we know that boys are affected by autism at almost 4 times the rate of girls. And then it increased even more. African-American boys were 3.56 times more likely to develop autism if they got that vaccine between 12 and 18 months versus waiting till after 3 years old. And, you know, one of the questions we ask is, why didn't the CDC just delay that vaccine? Why not just move the MMR vaccine to after 3 years old, when the child has a better immune system? For whatever reason, the science was showing them you have a danger in giving it early, and they lied and covered the whole thing up. They kicked half of the kids off of the study for no real decent scientific reason, which is scientific fraud completely and totally. They manipulated the tables and things, did everything you could possibly do to try and get rid of the effect. And so they could say to the American population, don't worry, everybody, the vaccine is safe, which is exactly what they did do. And for people that think this is just an African-American issue, because that is what was being looked at in that study, they also ran every perfectly healthy child in the study of all races. And what they found that was a perfectly healthy child that didn't have other issues, no blindness, no seizures, or any prior issue that got the vaccine between 12 and 18 months, they were up to 7 times, or, you know, 700% more likely to develop autism than if they'd waited till after 3 years old. So that's the information that Dr. Thompson provides, because at the end of the study, the CDC brought all the scientists in the room and made them destroy their data, made them destroy the data tables and all their hard drives. But luckily for us, Dr. William Thompson saw that day coming. He saw this was happening, and he kept all the hard drives and the study, the original study, in a safe. And that is what's been provided to the people that made Vaxxed and Dr. and Congressman Bill Posey.
And there was a gentleman overseas who was a medical doctor who actually lost his license over this. Tell us a little bit about his story.
Yeah, so Dr. Andy Wakefield. I mean, a lot of people sort of vaguely know this story. They'll say there's that UK doctor that was debunked and, you know, fraudulent doctor that lost his license. He actually is the director of Vaxxed, and that created its own controversy. But the truth is, you know, I had to investigate his story because when I was researching and looking into the story, he had already been working on the documentary for a year. And so he had it already going. I was going to have to team up with him. Imagine leaving an Emmy Award winning position as a medical producer to go work with a doctor that by, you know, from many points of view, they think he's this bad guy that lost his license. But if you investigate that story, that's equally as big a fraud as this CDC study. In fact, the CDC study was used as part of the way to debunk the doctor. So this fraudulent study, part of the goal was to make Andy Wakefield wrong. And there's a lot of details to the story, but as quickly as I can make it clear to people that have heard this notion that this doctor lost his license, it is true he lost his license, mostly because the pharmaceutical industry, I think, infiltrated the British government and their health department, just as it has infiltrated the CDC and is why the CDC is committing fraud. The pharmaceutical industry is now the number one lobby in America. It's outspending oil and gas 2-1. It is the most powerful player in our country. And that was really the case also in the UK. But essentially, Andy Wakefield was a world-renowned scientist. He had been published over 140 times on his work on gastrointestinal disease and Crohn's disease. And that was his specialty. And a mother reached out to him and said, I was wondering if you would take a look at my child because my child has autism. And he said, oh, I'm sorry, you must have called the wrong number. I'm a gastroenterologist. And she said, no, but I've read your studies on Crohn's, and my child, I think, has something like Crohn's disease, a gut disease that he'll either be constipated for weeks at a time or has just really brutal acid-burning-like diarrhea that just renders him in pain. And she said, and it all started right when he developed autism. So the study that Andy Wakefield did with 12 other top scientists in the world, by the way, like they try to sell this thing. I mean, where the red flag went up right away when I started looking into it is I had always heard it was the Andy Wakefield fraud, that he made up data and made up science and had lied about stuff and put out a study as though he'd done it by himself. But the truth is there were 12 other scientists, the tops in their fields, all signed their names and signed off on every piece of data in the study. So I immediately thought, how do you pull that off? How do you lie and create fake data and get top scientists to not recognize that and sign their name to the study? It's not possible. And so anyway, in the end, what was interesting about the study is he brought in 12 kids. It's called a case study. It's one of the first things you do when you're investigating something in science. It's not a thorough study. You just say, is there something here? Is there something that, you know, would warrant further study? So they do a small case study. In this case, it was 12 autistic children, all of whom parents had said they were having gastrointestinal issues that began when they started recognizing autism. So the question of the study was, is there some sort of gut disease that either is being caused by all the autism or there's some novel connection between the two? And so that's what the study looked at in 12 children. And sure enough, when they would do things like when they were going to do a colonoscopy on the child to analyze their intestines, they would clear them out the day before. And when they would clear them out, some of these kids' mannerisms, the autistic flapping or the toe walking or the repetitive motions would disappear simply because their intestines were clean. I mean, that was a huge discovery for the scientists that were involved. And what the study ended up showing is there is clearly almost a symbiotic relationship between this gut disease and what we thought was just a mental illness in autism, that it made it a physical issue. And that's what the study led to. And what's fascinating about it, and yes, 4 years later, he lost his license, all because a journalist that worked for Rupert Murdoch at the Sun-Times did a hit piece and made up a lot of data himself. And that's what the GNC, ultimately the General Medical Council in the UK, used against Andy and one other scientist, Professor John Walker Smith. Two men lost their jobs and their license. But what's interesting is that when you talk to many of the parents of autistic children that have healed their children of autism and have gotten them back into school and caught up in the grades, and many now are going off to college, that never used to be possible with an autistic child. But what are they doing? One of the primary and one of the most successful approaches is a change in diet where they heal the intestinal disease that's going on, and then the autism and the mental illness starts to subside and disappear. So it's fascinating, the connection. And I could get into more detail about why Andy really lost his license and the fact that the other gentleman, Professor John Walker Smith, why he got his license back after appealing the decision. A judge finally ruled for John Walker Smith after looking at the General Medical Council had no business making the determination it had. And it really came down to semantics. I mean, I don't know if this might be geeking out for people, but it is what we all hear, is this fraudulent scientist. To put it very clearly, they lost their licenses for medical malpractice, not for fraud, not for making up any data. They lost it because they didn't get ethical approval to do colonoscopies on the children and to do spinal taps, which they were doing to investigate the intestinal disease the parents were talking about. And here's what it comes down to. There's clinical investigation or there's medical research. Clinical investigation is when you do a colonoscopy on a patient in order to heal that patient and find out what's going on that patient and make that patient's life better. If that's what you're doing, if you're doing clinical investigation, you don't need ethical approval. If you're doing medical research, which means you're doing a colonoscopy on a patient, but you don't plan on treating that patient, you're just doing it as a study to look at the greater body of people with an issue, then you need ethical approval because obviously you're not going to help this patient out. You're just doing it for research. Well, the General Medical Council took both these guys' licenses away because they said you were doing medical research and therefore you needed ethical approval for these tests. But John Walker Smith appealed, and years later in a real courtroom, the judge said, and John Walker's Professor John Walker Smith said, I not only treated every one of these children that I did a colonoscopy on, I treated them for years after the study was over. They were my patients. It was clinical investigation, and therefore I never needed ethical approval. And he got his license back and was exonerated. And I believe Andy Wakefield would get his license back too, but he didn't spend the last 6 years in courtrooms appealing it. Instead, right, he knew the truth, and he started making movies like Vaxxed, a couple other documentaries, and he traveled the world saying, be careful. This is a dangerous vaccine, and forget about, they tried to scare me away by taking my license, but I'm still here, and I'm trying to warn you, this is a dangerous vaccine. That's pretty much the whole story in a fairly large nutshell.
They have, folks. That's basically the theme and plot of the movie Vaxxed. Very, very serious stuff.
Yeah.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Del Bigtree. He worked on the movie Vaxxed. He's got his own show, High Wire, with Del Bigtree. And also, he was an Emmy Award-winning producer for the television show The Doctors. A lot of ladies know about that guy because he was on Bachelorette and Bachelor. They were one of the main characters in that show. Now we got Vaxxed out of the way. I was also watching another video, and And you were, I guess, out in California, and they were screaming and hollering how they're turning away ambulances and emergency rooms are packed with flu patients.
Yeah.
It's a pandemic. It's going crazy out here. And then you sent a camera crew out to, I believe it was three different locations that were making this claim. And what did you find when you sent the cameras out there?
Yeah, so, you know, I read in the L.A. Times, I was on an airplane, and I read that they were erecting tents to handle overflow of people coming in with flu to the emergency room, and that nurses were being flown in from other states and ambulances were being, you know, turned away from hospitals. And it just sounded implausible to me. I was on a plane. I called my crew because we had a show, I think, within a day. And I said, I want you to go to every emergency room that made that claim. It was five different hospitals. And I want you to take cameras in and videotape the inside of the ERs and these supposed tents. And my crew went the very next day after this article came out, and it was crickets. There was nobody in any of the emergency rooms. One of them had erected a tent because they were under construction in their ER in case they might need room, and that thing was totally empty. And the whole thing proved to be a giant hoax. And I put that out. One of the types of things we do on my show, Highwire, every Thursday is just get to the bottom of what is the medical truth. What is really going on here? Now, you know, we do have flu. That happens every season. They've admitted
that's
that the
one of the reasons,
almost.
It's one of the reasons we had to reschedule this show one time is because Dell had the flu.
Yeah, or flu-like symptoms. I mean, who knows? I didn't go in. I don't rush into an ER because I have a fever and I'm not feeling very good, you know.
I rushed to the soup can and the blankets.
Yes. Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Get some hot soup, start throwing back the vitamin C, and 3 or 4 days later, you feel as good as new. At least that's how the experience always works for me. I hear people that get flu shots, and they're down for weeks at a time. And I'm really, really currently very suspect of Tamiflu. I think somebody should be investigating Tamiflu because – when I read the articles all over the country of people dying from the flu, healthy teenagers dying from the flu, you don't die from the flu. I'm sorry. If you don't have leukemia or something that really is undermining your immune system, you shouldn't be dying. And every time I read these articles, because they're trying to make everybody terrified of the flu, when I read these articles, I see that they're all taking Tamiflu. So I think there's a question on the safety of Tamiflu that should be being investigated, not on necessarily the flu, because look at the vaccine is useless. The vaccine is totally useless, and they're admitting that. When they say it's 10% effective, what does that mean, 10% effective? I mean, what other product in the world would you buy that's 10% effective? Like this car seat works one-tenth of the time. This airbag works one-tenth of the time. You know, this parachute works one out of 10 times. You're not jumping out of that plane. I'm sorry. Yeah, they're telling us we should still get this thing. It's insane.
Russian roulette is 1 out of 6.
Yeah, right.
You know, while we're at it, while we're making comparisons, you know, let's see.
It's 9 out of 10. I mean, the revolver on this for the flu is 9 out of 10. 9 bullets are in the chamber, and you're hoping you get the one empty one, and you don't end up getting the flu. I mean, it's a terrible vaccine, and it's dangerous, and it's bad for you. And it's got, you know, if you're not asking the right questions, half of these flu vaccines still have mercury, which is the most toxic non-radioactive substance on the planet Earth, okay? It's in a vaccine that is only 10. What's that?
Why would they have mercury in a vaccine?
Because it makes the vaccine cheaper. It's in the large vials where they put 10 shots in one vial together. When you're dipping that needle in and out, there's the possibility you could get bacteria or something there that contaminates it. So mercury, because it kills everything in sight, including you, it kills any bacteria that would get in there. So it just makes it so that they can put 10 shots in one vial, and it's cheaper to produce. It's cheaper to deliver. It's just a cost-saving benefit. They could spend a couple pennies more on every vaccine and not risk your life with injecting with mercury into your bloodstream, but they don't, because the pharmaceutical industry, as far as I've ever seen, only cares about bottom dollar and making more money. And down to pennies it saves, it is putting human beings at risk, including pregnant women. Can you imagine injecting mercury, one of the most toxic substances on the planet, into a woman that has an embryo growing inside of her? And you know the joke that doctors say, if you want to clear heavy metals out of your body, get pregnant. Because the really scary and sad thing is, we don't know why, but the fetus absorbs all of the bad toxic metals in a mother's body like a sponge. And that can create neurological disorders, all sorts of autoimmune disorders in the future of that child. Study after study shows it in mice, shows it in monkeys. And you know what? If you read every single, I'm telling you, more than 20 of the flu vaccines are out there, every single one of them says has not been tested on pregnant women. Yet gynecologists and the CDC and everybody keeps recommending that pregnant women get the flu shot when it's never even been tested on them or their babies. These are the types of things that just blow my mind as a journalist. As someone who really loves science, it really makes you lose faith. Why would they be so reckless?
I agree. I had a lady on recently. She was a worker at a hospital, and they went around and giving flu shots to all the workers. And her and five other workers said, nah, you know what? I don't want the flu shot. So they said, well, no flu shot for you. You got to wear this mask. You cannot take it off, even at lunchtime, even at break time. If you're in this building, you must wear this mask if you're not getting the flu shot. And then they mocked them, ridiculed them, and bullied them pretty much because they didn't take the flu shot. Five of the six people said, okay, uncle, and they took the flu shot. The one lady said, hell no, I'm not taking it, and she's fighting tooth and nail, and I hope she's winning. Now, I noticed I saw a story floating around recently where a mom has been jailed for refusing to vaccinate her child. Is that happening in some cases?
They're special. You're talking about a case that was up in Detroit, Rebecca Bradow, and, you know, there was special circumstances to why she got jailed. What they said was she was in contempt of court because she had agreed to vaccinate her child in the court and then had changed her mind. But, what I can tell you is that this vaccination issue is being used by mostly fathers, but really it is coming into the middle of divorce cases all over the country for fathers that either had abuse tendencies or for whatever reason weren't getting 50-50 custody with a child. Now they're finding a porousness in the courts. They say, well, my wife doesn't vaccinate the child and I want to vaccinate the child. And now all of a sudden they're getting 50-50 custody and using this issue to get more custody of the child. And the court, there are CPS notices on the father that were thrown out of the court. And you see that time and time again where they're looking the other way on the reasons these people were not, getting their children. And now simply because they hop on this vaccine bandwagon, the court's saying, oh, you know what, that makes you a better parent because you want to vaccinate. And they're throwing out all the other information. So it's a really, it's like Salem witch trials, man. I mean, it's freaky because you think about these parents all agreed to how they were going to raise their kid. And, you know, I want to go back really quickly just to the nurse thing because, I think we hear these things and we sort of just blase it. We just glide over it. But think about this. Those five or six nurses didn't want to get vaccinated because they've seen the results. They work in hospitals. Nurses have never had to be vaccinated before, and you never heard stories of people dying from the flu because they were in the hospital and a nurse gave them the flu. But here's what's so ridiculous, and this is why you know it's like a scarlet letter, and it's really a bullying job by the pharmaceutical industry because, think about it, if the pharmaceutical industry admits that the vaccine is only 10% effective. That means 9 out of 10 nurses that got the vaccine will get the flu, and they're not having to wear a mask. 9 out of 10 of them are not effectively covered for the flu, but they don't have to wear a mask. Whereas a nurse who has just opted out and said, you know what, I'm going to take vitamin C and whatever it is I believe in and keep my immune system strong, they have to wear a mask. I mean, that's ridiculous. It's preposterous. If your vaccine can only cover 1 out of the 10 and the other 9 could be contagious, then your vaccine doesn't work, yet you're only making the person that doesn't want to use your failing vaccine wear a mask. That's bullying, and that's what's going on in this industry. Right. And it should make everybody pause to think, what is really going on?
She mentioned that when she came on the show. That, you know, I hear, but that was protecting her and the 5 others that didn't want it. They had the mask on. They were protecting themselves from the germs, maybe. So in the long run, it probably wasn't a bad thing. You know, they got the mask on, and they're not getting contaminated by those nasty germs. Now, there was another video I watched because, you know, I'm going to have you on the show, so I got to do some research.
All right.
There's a guy out there they call the science guy. His name is Bill Nye, the science guy. Nary a scientist whatsoever. And how does this guy get any credibility if he has no knowledge of real science or, you know, training or anything? He's just out there. I'm Bill Nye, the science guy. Seems like a kid character that people take serious.
Yeah, I mean, he's like a Sesame Street character, you know? I mean, and what's funny is, you know, I did. He put out a whole pro-vaccine video that he was paid to do by the pharmaceutical industry, and I went through some of the points he was making and showed, you know, how they're really not accurate. And people will attack me and say, Dell's just a journalist. Bill Nye's a scientist. That's the truth is Bill Nye won a Steve Martin lookalike contest. That's how he got a career. That's who he is. He's an entertainer that looks like a scientist. I think he had some scientific background somewhere, nowhere in medicine. I think he worked on like rockets or I don't know, some sort of other stuff. But either way, you know, all of a sudden he has all this credibility.
I have science background. I took science in like, you know, 10th grade biology and, you know.
Right, exactly. No, I don't think he's an MD or anything like that, but he puts out these videos as though he knows the truth, and really he just spouts the same talking points that the pharmaceutical industry hands every doctor and that the CDC puts out. But I pointed out that they really aren't – I mean, the truth, they're just not as safe as people think they are. In fact, we don't know how dangerous they are. They could be – you know, I know they are dangerous. I've interviewed thousands and thousands of very credible people describing exactly how their child, you know, was injured by a vaccine or how they themselves were injured by vaccines. But you can look at the numbers. We, you know, one of the things we said at the National Institute of Health is, since you just admitted you're putting out these products without a proper safety study, what is your surveillance system in order to capture and find out if the millions of kids getting vaccines, if one of these vaccines is dangerous or the combination of vaccines? Do you know that we have never done a study that tests the safety of the entire combination of giving a child 72 vaccines by 18? That study has never been done. You know, you couldn't give 72 drugs without testing how they interact with each other. But we have a system the surveillance system we have is called VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. And this is where every doctor, if you get injured by a vaccine, you start having seizures right after getting your vaccine, or maybe all of a sudden you lose the ability to walk or talk or, you know, epilepsy, whatever, then the doctor is supposed to report your injury to VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System. Well, here's what's interesting. In 2016, in 1 year alone in 2016, there were 59,000 reports of vaccine injury in the VAERS system for just that year. 432 deaths, over 10,000 emergency room visits, 1,000 permanent injuries. Now, those are pretty bad numbers, I think. I mean, I don't know if that's what people think is acceptable. I don't see how killing 432 people with a vaccine program makes that a successful program, especially when your hair goes on fire because 100 and something people got measles at Disneyland and nobody died. How does that compare to 432 people that all died in 1 year from the vaccine itself? But here's what's really shocking. Health and Human Services, which is that's the mothership of our health department. They oversee the CDC, the FDA, NIH, all of those other agencies. Health and Human Services is in charge of keeping the VAERS system, this Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, up and running and analyzing it. And their own internal studies have come back and said, and they will tell you, we don't trust VAERS because it is underreported. In fact, their internal study says that less than 1% of doctors, less than 1% of the total amount of injuries are even being reported at all. They said this right to us when we were at the NIH meeting. And we said, well, hold on a second. That's, you know, this. There were 59,000 reports in 2016. Are you saying it could be 100 times that? Are you saying there could have been 5.9 million injuries in 2016 alone? Does that mean 432 deaths is really 43,000 deaths? These are the types of things that we think need to be rectified. If the HHS is saying we're only capturing 1% and 59,000 is still being reported, then clearly vaccines are far more dangerous than anybody led on. And one of the things I just simply want is we want better data collection. We should be collecting more than 1% of the total injuries. We should be able to collect 80, 85, or 100% because we have computers now. We're the home of Google, of Facebook, of IBM, of Microsoft, of Apple. And we can't create a computer system that automatically updates when someone comes in complaining of an injury from a vaccine. That should be automated.
Right.
And these are the types of things that the simple solutions so that we can science to take place. I am, like I say, I always say, people will say I'm anti-science. The opposite is true. I so totally believe in science. I know how the scientific method saves us every day. I know that if you stick to the rules of science and you continue to ask important questions of your own science and always evolve and make a better and better product, we're all better off. And that is what Robert Kennedy Jr. and I travel the country trying to get to happen. We just simply want better safety testing, better data collection, and there are easy ways to do all of that. And when you see the top health departments avoiding data collection and avoiding the most obvious studies you should be doing, that really starts to set off red flags.
Well, the most obvious question that I would have then would be, how the heck do we stop them? That comes from my friend Raquel on the live feed. I have to agree. How do we stop them? I guess we got to call our senators, our congressmen, file petitions, fill out affidavits, and just go legal on them, I guess.
Well, first of all, if you watch my show, I actually will probably be suing Health and Human Services this year with my nonprofit. But we are taking direct action at our government. So if you want to be a part of the action or at least know about it, then tune into my show. And you don't have to be available on Thursdays. It's on my Facebook page. You can see last week's show right now. You can see the show I did 30 weeks ago right now on Facebook. You just go to at Highwire with Del Bigtree or at Highwire. It'll usually come up. But we have some really simple solutions. And I'm about solutions. This isn't a diabolical situation. We aren't dead in the water here. We have an industry that just needs to be made accountable again. Most people don't know that there's no liability for the pharmaceutical industry, that we took away the liability, meaning you cannot sue a pharmaceutical company that makes vaccines for your children. If your child's injured, you can't sue the industry. So we want that law that was passed in 1986. We want that shifted so that you can sue the manufacturer again, because that lets the market demand a better product. It makes them have to make a better product. Can you imagine if a Toyota airbag failed, but they never were responsible and they didn't have to pay for the death of the injury or a lawsuit? They would never fix the problem. That's exactly what we have with vaccines. So we want liability put back on the industry. We want to create a national vaccine safety board. We want to see the safety investigation, sort of like you have crash tests done by an independent group, not by Ford itself, because Ford's going to fake its numbers. We believe the CDC and the pharmaceutical industry are faking their numbers. So we want well-paid scientists and an independent national vaccine safety board that has some healthy skepticism and does real safety studies of each vaccine, takes them through double-blind experiments, or retroactively looks at the database of 10 million people that the CDC has and just runs computer algorithms asking, do the vaccinated people in our database, are they actually healthier or sicker? Or are the vaccinated kids healthier than the unvaccinated kids? Easy studies that could be done that aren't being done because the bias and the money inside of our government. So we want to simply create a National Vaccine Safety Board. We have precedents for this. We did it with the National Transportation Safety Board because we recognize you shouldn't have Boeing at the table doing the investigations of a crash. You're not going to get a clear understanding of what happened at that crash because they're going to be defending their plane. Well, that's exactly what's happening when you have pharmaceutical insiders working the CDC doing your safety tests. We want those pharmaceutical insiders out. We want true vaccine safety studies done immediately. And if you did that, just put liability back on the industry and created a vaccine safety board, I think you would watch vaccines get safer overnight.
It's very important. So if folks want to connect with you and your show, how would they go about connecting with you and your show and to get more informed on your fight to create a safe vaccination place for our family and our children?
Well, there's two easy ways to see all the work that we're doing. You can go to Highwire, H-I-G-H-W-I-R-E, with Del Bigtree. I think at this point, if you just type in Highwire, three or four lines down, you'll see Highwire with Del Bigtree. Click on it. That's my Facebook. We're also on YouTube under the same name. You can watch the YouTube videos and the show. It's usually one and a half hour show. And I have a nonprofit website that actually is posting some of the lawsuits that we're putting together. And our science is all written out in papers with citations to the medical journals and where we're getting our information from. I'm not making any of this up. I'm a journalist. I will not say something that is not published in a reputable journal. So everything I'm saying is what we have found to be true based on the existing science. So that website is icandecide.org, icandecide.org. Our nonprofit is the Informed Consent Action Network, or ICAN, but icandecide.org. And you can go to the white papers, and you'll see a 30-page document that lays out pretty much our entire argument that we made at the National Institute of Health. And you can start brushing up and looking into the science and seeing why we are so concerned about the safety of vaccines.
Absolutely. I want to thank you so much, sir, for your time, and hopefully we can do this again sometime. I'll keep watching your channel and your show. It's great. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, that's High Wire with Del Bigtree. Death-defying talk without a safety net. How's that? That's pretty good, huh?
Yep, there it is. Love it. Maybe you can record my commercial. It's been really wonderful, and thank you for taking the time. So many journalists are afraid of this issue. They're afraid because their sponsors are pharmaceutical industry. Every time I meet someone like you that is stepping up and bringing truth to the people, it is about the people. It's our time. We have to stand up for ourselves now, because there's forced adult vaccine programs in our government trying to be passed as we speak. You don't want that. These things are dangerous, and we should have control of our own bodies. It should not be controlled by the president or our government. It's my body, my choice, my child, my choice.
Amen. Thank you, Del. Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you find Del and you tune into his show. It's Thursdays, 11 a.m. Pacific time. That would be 2 p.m. on the East Coast. If you're there Thursdays, Facebook Live, on his Facebook page, you can watch. He's putting out some great information. I've been a regular viewer now for some time, and I really appreciate the hard work and the studies that you do. I know that you guys have been attacked by the vaccine industry, going, you guys are anti-vaccine and all that kind of stuff, and you stay true and you stay in the fight. And we appreciate that. And I want to thank you so much for sticking up for the children and the people of this country. We all got to make a difference somehow, and you're making a big difference. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Once again, Del Bigtree, You want to find the movie, just Google Vaxxed. It'll come up. You want to watch it. There's some really amazing information there. You have to really hear all sides of the story, because as it goes, it's their side, our side, and the truth is somewhere in the middle. And I think we're bringing the truth right now. As I've seen in my own life, kids who seem perfectly normal get vaccinated, and then the next time you see him, what happened? Oh, he was diagnosed with autism. Well, how? He was great. I just seen him, you know, at his first birthday party. He was great. We were laughing, playing with toys, and now he's over there spinning in circles, looking at the wall and the ceiling. I don't get it. And that's what happens. So you really want to really think about it. And if you have a baby right now and you're approaching the first birthday, ask your doctor, can we postpone that MMR vaccine maybe till he's two? That might be helpful. And just keeping the fight, folks. Remember the Constitution and keep it holy like the Bible, for crying out loud. It's an amazing document. It gives us your it outlines your God-given rights. Remember our troops and our soldiers that are in harm's way right now. Don't wait till Veterans Day to thank a veteran. Thank a veteran every day. And don't forget Preston C. Sharp's Flag and Flower Challenge. That's hashtag FNF Challenge. Check it out, Preston C. Sharp, PrestonSharp.net, and get involved in the Flag and Flower Challenge. You've seen him sitting with Melania Trump at the State of the Union address, the little guy with his mom, April, sitting there. He's really doing a great thing. He's going to do a national event on Veterans Day this year, Flags and Flowers Across America, something to that effect. We are trying diligently right now, talking to some flag manufacturers to sponsor him. We really want to do that. And also, hey, my nephew's watching. What's up, Chris? And Rock and Roll Terry, what's happening? also, what the heck, where was I going here? I forgot. I said, Chris, you threw me off. I saw my nephew come up on the screen, and I'm off track. But anyway, be sure to tune into my show Mondays and Thursdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This Thursday, who knows what's going on? It might be just an open show. I'm working on some guests. Right now, it's open. It's free. Next Monday, we're going to be talking with some folks. They had produced a movie, and their name is Anita and Chuck. They're going to be coming on the show. They produced this excellent movie that we're going to be talking about it. I'm going to get the name of the movie right now. Is Revelation. Hold on, it's coming up. Revelation, Dawn of a Global Government. They put this movie out. I'm going to be researching it here in the next few days. They'll be on Monday, 8 p.m. right here. We're going to talk about this movie, Revelation, Dawn of a Global Government. Search it out. Do some research yourself and find out. We're going to have the people who created this movie. They're down in the Texas area, and we're going to be having them on. We're going to talk about this. It's commentary, freedom, government, and media, a spotlight on tyranny. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And that comes from my friend Susan. And she's a great contributor at the Liberty Beacon. You want to find the Liberty Beacon online and check out her article. Susan is Gold Star mother, whose son was killed in the Ganjgal ambush in Afghanistan back in, I believe, 2008, 2009, September 8th. We just dedicated a whole show to him, the Flag and Flower Show with Preston Sharp. May he rest in peace, and thank you for your service, sir. But right now, right at the end of the show, we're running over a little bit late. I want to thank each and every one of you guys on the live feed for tuning in, everybody who shared, everybody who liked, everybody who sent a thumbs up. Send some more thumbs up, hearts, smiley faces, angry faces, some kind of faces. Let's see some thumbs and faces. You know, the whole nine yards. I'd love to see it. And we're going to go out right now with the national anthem sung by my friend Dave Bray, DaveBrayUSA.com. And I want to make sure, folks, you head up to LibertyRush.com. Check out LibertyRush.com. It is social media without the libtarded rhetoric. You want to make sure you get over there. And, of course, DaveBrayUSA.com. And for right now, we're going to play the national anthem. Please stand and join me as we honor our flag.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming, hailed the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?
And don't forget, a conservative's perspective heard two nights a week here on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, Tuesdays and Thursdays, with the captain himself, James Bostic. That's a conservative's perspective. And we'll have, I believe, coming back next month, Vet Talk with Gonzalo Duran. Join us, folks, on the Patriot Nation Radio Network, www.blogtalkradio.com/Patriot Nation. And again, folks, good night. God bless you, and God bless America.